This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Favorite. It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Hey, and welcome into Judd's Hockey Show. Doing this late on a Sunday night, Judd and Declan Goff, because the Wild played two games since we last talked to you. Beat the Anaheim Ducks in their reverse retros on Saturday by a final of 5-4, in a game that was probably closer than you would like, and played a crazy game Sunday afternoon against the Dallas Stars, which a lot of people probably missed because they were watching the Vikings. Wild up 5-1 in that game at one point. Dallas came back to tie at 5-5 in the third period before the Wild won in a shootout. All three of their shooters in the shootout scored 6-5. So long story short, a lot to get here to Dex as far as intrigue from the weekend goes. But the Wild is now sitting in third place in the Central Division. With the accumulation of points, they have been on a nice hot streak here that extended from winning the last, I believe, three or four of the seven-game homestand, and then starting with a road trip that they are on and today's win. What was your main takeaway from what was a completely crazy game in Dallas on Sunday?
Yeah, I went back and rewatched the highlights. Full disclosure, obviously, we were watching Vikings in real time, other duties here on the Score North side. So I went back and luckily can watch these games because they're uploaded right away. And, you know, actually, I thought in the first period, I know they outchanced and they shouldn't have, the score shouldn't have been the Wild up or shouldn't have gotten big ahead. But I liked the Wild's game up until about the 15-minute mark of the third period. And then from about that 5 to 6 minute onslaught, where all of a sudden a 4-goal deficit was erased in basically the next 15 minutes by Dallas, did not like their play at all. That was pretty ugly. Now, they were able to rebound, you know, another bending, not breaking team here in Minnesota sports, which is kind of funny in the Wild. But they've also, I think I'm more looking at the last four games, and I'm more looking at them kind of now having a little bit more of an identity to their season, that they've won four straight. And all of a sudden, now that they're in third place in the Central Division, maybe this starts a little bit of a winning trend here with you winning four in a row, regardless of the kind of collapse that happened against the Stars, which I'm sure we're about to get into here. I kind of look at the bigger picture and say, hey, you've won four straight. You got 8 points in your last four games. That's pretty damn good after kind of just being a lackadaisical team over the first two months of the season. So I'm taking probably more of an optimistic view of just their play overall. But I mean, I completely understand why the last 15 minutes of regulation against Dallas does obviously put up some causes for concern.
Yeah, this is a weird team. So they lost three consecutive default to 7-8-2 at the start of the seven game homestand, And since then have rebounded to win 6 of 7. This extends, as far as I'm concerned, for the weekend back to the Ducks game, because Dean Evason didn't mince words. You know, he ordinarily tries to take a pretty positive narrative of games, and he fully admitted Saturday they didn't play well. I mean, the first two periods were inexcusably poor. The Ducks are an up-and-coming team eventually, but they're terrible right now.
Yeah.
And the first 40 minutes of play in that game were putrid, absolutely putrid. The third period, the Wild turned it on. They won. It was a nice win, but nonetheless, Dean wasn't thrilled. And it sounds like there was some harsh words, perhaps, in between the second and third period. Now, I did frame the question, finally, after that game, because Dean was being pretty open about it, about, you know, he wasn't pleased. And he was right. I mean, 1,000% right. I was glad we didn't get BS from him. But I finally framed the question of, you know, your identity. How do you get it all the time? Because, I mean, this is, again, for the whole thing of, and I'm hearing it less now, but for the whole thing of, well, the Wild's trying to find its identity. And my question to Dean was, you know what it is. What you got to do is get it, right? So, like, this isn't a, And I will say this, the Ryan Reeves trade goes a long way towards the Judd thing of, okay, have somebody come and put a boot in their butt and basically say, this is us. And so Dean, it was interesting because he tried to control the narrative then. He didn't like, I don't think he liked the reporter trying to insinuate that you guys take time off. He can say it. We probably can't. I don't really care about that. But anyway, today was another problem because you're up 5-1 on the road. It's super impressive. And then you just collapse. And I went back and watched, as you did, the extended highlights. The defensive breakdowns in the last 15 minutes of that game, third period, were inexcusable. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. John Merrill was on the ice. I think he was a -3. Kaprizov and Zuccarello, I believe, -3. There was one goal scored in that spree in the third period where Kalen Addison is late getting back. Merrill tries to block the pass. It's a nice sauce pass. I think it's Pavelski. It's a nice sauce pass, but Addison's nowhere in the play. And so, like, this, what's disturbing about this is it feels like this team, much like the Vikings at times, to your point, has a tendency of just taking time off. I had heard from a guy I knew watching the game who said Fleury looked old, but I watched those goals. I didn't think that was Fleury. Mm-hmm. The third period is just a breakdown. And you can't just take time off. And again, it's the whole identity thing. And the issue is, if you're not going to follow through on what your identity is, you're in huge trouble. Because this team, aside from a couple of players, and one of them was a -3 today, they're not good enough to pull this crap. So it was very frustrating to watch the meltdown because it was self-inflicted.
Yeah. And watching all those four goals basically come in that 7-8 minute stretch in the third, it was just kind of defensive lapses. It was just kind of mind numbing just watching them happen. Cause I didn't blame Fleury for the majority of that situation. Now, does your goalie need to bail you out here and there? Of course he does. But this was defensive, just miscues and lapses and sitting on your heels and not picking up your man. And I think that's where, yes, it was a lot more concerning. And again, myself kind of taking the optimistic approach. All right, well, Kirill's clearly on fire here. I mean, this is absurd what he's been doing in it during his, what now, 12-game, I believe, point streak that he's had here. He is just completely lighting the world on fire. You're seeing Matt Boldy show up a little bit more. I mean, and we can pinpoint it. I mean, we can kind of pinpoint where this team is starting to turn things around is because of the Reeves trade. And I think there was a good amount of people that looked at that trade and kind of, really, Ryan Reeves, this goon, this guy that has been a thorn in the Wild side too, and for multiple other teams over the past years, you're going to trade a 5th-round pick, give up type that capital for Ryan Reeves. Man, I think that Garen didn't really care about the 5th-round pick. And honestly, I don't either for the most part. But we can kind of look back on that trade, and if this team does end up taking off here over the next 8 weeks or towards the end of this year as they get really red hot as we get toward the deadline, that's probably going to be the date we go back and circle and say this is where things probably changed for the better too, by the way. So maybe they'll kind of just be the Wild where they'll now go on, you know, a little bit of a skid and they'll lose 3 out of 4 or something. But I really think that they're starting to figure things out a little bit more. Things are starting to get a little bit more sustainable, but you just kind of look back on that 8-minute collapse there in the third, where then all of a sudden it kind of washes away, to your point, all the good that they have been honestly doing over the last few weeks.
Play a complete game. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Reeves introductions in the locker room before Saturday's game? That was absolutely fantastic. I mean, he brings a personality. This team, and I don't know exactly why, because it's not like there's been a lot of guys lost, but this team before Reeves arrived felt like white rice, bland.
Yep.
It just felt bland, and it felt like it didn't have a mojo to it. And I don't know why, but Reeves gives them a mojo. And it's funny because when you watch the games, nobody will fight Reeves.
No.
Which does get you extra room. Like whatever line he's on gets a ton of room. Foligno guys don't want to fight necessarily, but they'll fight him. No problem. Reeves, nobody, like, he's taunting guys. Nobody wants the smoke. So it's sort of funny to watch, but yeah, as far as when I watched him do the, announce the lineups for the Ducks game, it's hilarious. And he's, you know, he's doing the Michael Buffer. All of this, I guess, is a long way of saying, I think as far as the chemistry goes, it's pretty important. Mm-hmm. And yes, it definitely gives them a mojo and an attitude that this team totally lacked. I just now want to see them put together complete games. And I really get frustrated when they play, when everybody plays like they think they're good. Because they're not that good. They need to work their asses off.
There was a scene during the TV intermission where his shirt's off. By the way, I think all the Wild players just do their interviews with their shirts off now between periods, which is an interesting test.
Oh, dude.
But Reeves like had a piece of pizza in his hand, like off camera. Like he's a goofball. He's just kind of a character. Yeah. And yeah,
he's a media presence waiting to happen.
Oh yeah.
He's great.
His on ice contributions are probably, you know, replaceable level at best, and they're probably even below. But what he brings as his presence, what he brings in the room, and what all the things that Guerin probably saw, like, hey, this team's probably lacking some of this. I don't really know why this team's lacking some of this. But we could use a guy like Ryan Reeves. And I think that's where, you know, some people see when they saw the trade and they saw the player that was coming here, was like, really, we're going to bring in this guy. It's been working out for the Wild. Like, this has honestly gone down as a really, really solid trade for them. And even though he's probably going to score 5 points, if that, the rest of the season, he's not going to score next to any points. It's true. He does have a couple assists. I saw the assist tonight.
Yeah.
But it's not what he brings from a point production or on the ice standpoint. Everything he brings off it, and it's been beneficial so far in his first few weeks with the team.
Offensively, Kaprizov's on fire again. It's incredible to watch. And yes, he has deficiencies at time. I get that. But what he brings, that first goal, which Ottinger, who I think was pulled after two periods, was thoroughly confused by. That first goal is a gorgeous shot. The shootout goals the last two games are just incredible. Like, I watching him and Justin Jefferson in the same town is such a treat.
Yeah.
Because their skill sets are so out of, I mean, it's fun to have professional sports. It's even more fun when you have professional sports with just flat out superstar players. And what Kaprizov does on TV, or better yet in person, it's just the skill. I mean, he makes those shootout goals. And I, by the way, just to be very clear, still hate the shootout.
I agree. I'm with you. Yep.
But he makes those shootout goals look so simple. You watch him and you're like, oh yeah, of course he scored. It's like, no, you actually go back and dissect what he just did.
The one against the Ducks on Saturday, the shootout goal was just, I couldn't really believe what he did. And look, Trevor Zegras is also really damn good for the Ducks. And, you know, they might be up and coming and whatnot. But when you're watching Kirill Kaprizov just do his Kaprizov-like things, to your point, and then when you watch Jefferson do his thing, and I know Ant Edwards is probably not in the same echelon yet as JJ and Kaprizov are in their respective sports, if you will. But it's a treat. It's a treat when you watch these superstar game-changing players. They literally have the ability to change the entire game. And luckily, now that Minnesota sports get to watch these all the time, it's fun to see.
On the shootout, so Zuccarello scored today, Kaprizov scored, Goudreau scored. On Goudreau's goal, did you see Zegras' goal on Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did Goudreau use the same exact move?
I don't know if it was the same one.
He went to the boards, which I hate. They should change the rule.
I agree.
The dilly-dally is stupid. The dilly-dally, don't allow the dilly-dally. But he went to the dilly-dally move, and then he came back in, and then he did the drag. And I think both of them scored on the backhand. I think that he used the same move.
I was more surprised on Saturday, and I think it was the same rotation, I guess, again, today against the Stars. I was shocked that Goudreau got the nod over Boldy.
I was upset by it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That and does. Boldy then scored, and I would go Zuccarello, Kaprizov, Boldy.
Yeah.
But you know Goudreau. You know the coach in Goudreau, man.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's not like you're saving a bullet because you're going into the 13th inning. Like, you can win the game in the first three rounds, and the majority of them do go that are decided there in the first three rounds. So yeah, I was a little surprised, but hey, yes, it did work out. So egg on both of our faces.
The level of trust in Goudreau at times concerns me.
Yes.
It concerns me. So some guys are playing well, and I do want to talk about that, Declan, here on Judd's Hockey Show. Before I do that, I want to show you a couple of cards, and you're saying, Judd, what are these cards right now? And I'm going to tell you right now, these cards are your ticket to holiday gifts galore. These cards are going to make a person in your life very happy, because they're gift cards to our friends at the Chanhassen Dinner Theaters, which is the perfect gift idea. It lets you pick what you want to see, and there's something for everyone. A big splashy musical on stage, let's say Footloose, The Prom, or Jersey Boys. That concert series, which is tribute concerts, everything from the Eagles to Sinatra to Patsy Cline. And finally, The comedy improv show with Stevie Ray is a blast as well. So again, a multitude of choices. And did I mention the great steak and prime rib or the famous chicken chan? That's right. Okay. So how do you get these? It's this simple. In fact, you don't even have to leave your house. You can call 952-934-1525, 952-934-1525, or visit chanhassendt.com, chanhassendt.com. Of course, you can also go there and get them in person. But if you want to buy them online, chanhassendt.com, these are a fantastic gift. And again, someone will absolutely love it. And it involves a lot of choices, chanhassendt.com. One observation I have for you, and this is a guy that we both dump on a lot, but I feel like the last two games I've seen something, and he goes through these spells, Jordan Greenway. It feels like the last two games he's sort of back. He's back on that Ek line where there's no question. There's almost a weird comfort. But Jordan Greenway in the last two games, I think, has played well. He scored today. And when he's playing well and he influences games, I guess my frustration, Declan, is he doesn't do that enough. But I think we're back into a spurt now or a cycle where Jordan Greenway is contributing.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably a little motivated because he was so banged up and basically missed the first fourth of the season or so. So I understand that to a degree. But how sustainable is this? Is this just another Greenway run, you know, like that we've seen a lot of times? He's diet Charlie Coyle to a degree. And I would hope that maybe it's something consistent. Look, he's got great chemistry with Foligno and Ek, and that line again being reunited is good news for the Wild. Yeah, I don't know. I need to see more, you know. And also, they're going to play the Flames here on Wednesday. They got a little bit of a West Coast or Canada road trip coming up too. So some better tests than playing obviously like the Ducks on at home on Saturday. So I'm excited to see them play the Oilers again and see if the stuff that they've been doing lately is sustainable. Same thing with Sam Steele, which I don't know if you're about to bring up as well, but it just, I can't tell if that's just lightning in a bottle here, and it probably is lightning in a bottle. But of all the guys that they have put there this year, he's made the most of that opportunity. You know, Hartman got hurt, and, you know, Goudreau and Jost, who got waived for God's sakes, no one really took that and ran with it by the horns. So far, it's been Steele. Now, we saw it from Victor Rask at times last year where he was playing really well on that line or playing well with Kaprizov and Zuccarello before. Now, I think Steele's a better skater than Victor Rask is, but is the Sam Steele thing legit? Is Sam Steele going to be a Ryan Hartman where he scores 35 goals out of complete left field no one saw coming?
No.
I think that's probably the bigger question I have. And yes, I am obviously leaning towards no. I don't think it is either, but it is an interesting thing to watch here after now that he's kind of cemented himself as the number one center for now.
It's a very intriguing discussion because I think it also goes to the fact that the Wild is literally looking for a replacement level center between those two guys. So like there's no, they don't have a notion of, oh, Sam Steele is going. I think they were probably as pleasantly surprised and shocked by Hartman's huge year as we were.
Yep.
So, you know, they're basically looking for a player that won't screw it up. And, you know, I don't think with Jost they ever got what they thought that they would. Goudreau, I mean, he's not going to change. He is who he is. Sam Steele has a spurt right now. But do I think he's going to, like, be good? No, probably not. And eventually it'll be very intriguing to see how Marco Rossi does at Iowa, because he could come back and play there too. So there's a lot of ways that this could go. I am just really, this team really intrigues me because they definitely go on runs. I don't think they're a great team by any means. I don't think they're super talented. They have a superstar and they have a few really nice players. But I just, at the end of the day, I don't know what you're going to get because that, you know, Dex, that Ducks game was a mess. For 40 minutes, it was awful.
Right.
Today, for what, for 40 and then plus about five, for 45 minutes, the Wild's lights out in Dallas. And, you know, keep in mind, Dallas is in first place. Dallas has played well. And then they completely fall apart and come back to win in the shootout. So this team has me thoroughly confused.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're not that great. I know that they have to work hard to win. But I guess my question is, what's the usual effort going to be? And that one I can't answer for you yet.
Just looking at Steele's numbers with Kirill and Matt Zuccarello here. So Corsi 4 with those players, you can kind of sort this with your teammates. 63% with Kirill, which is absurd. I mean, that's tilting the ice two-thirds of the way on the offensive zone. Basically, you're generating so many more shots than you're allowing. Without Kirill on the ice, and Sam Steele has spent 200 minutes without Kirill, he spent 100 minutes with Kirill. And those minutes without, it is a 45%. So it's a 20% drop-off when he hasn't been playing with Kirill Kaprizov. And that goes to show how great Zuccarello and Kaprizov are, and can you get the replacement level centers with those two guys? Right. And again, yeah, I don't think it's sustainable. I don't know if Sam Steele's going to be thought about as this great number one center. It was a great, I like the move of getting him. You know, it was just like when they got Tyson Jones, I like that he was a former first round pick. Maybe there's something to be had here. Love that for him. But I'm still waiting to see if this is a legitimate option between Kirill and Zuccarello.
When you're up against the cap, I think your key is to try and find like former first round picks who have washed out and give them chances. And, you know, if Sam Steele just proves to be a serviceable player, that's great. I do want to say my favorite goal that I saw today in the Stars Wild game. And by the way, Stars throwback jerseys, reverse retros. Bravo.
You those like those ones?
Old school. Yeah, I do like those a lot. Those are essentially the ripoff of what the North Stars wore last year. They've been tweaked on the colors and stuff, but I did like those. My favorite goal, though, Connor Dewar's goal, because it's a short hit-handed goal. It's the fifth one, which, by the way, the Wild now leads the league in shorties. Good for them. They were focusing on trying to improve. They definitely have on the penalty kill in some ways, but I like to see Ryan Suter half-assing it. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it.
So Mason Shaw basically gets a breakout pass to the neutral zone, and Dewar's going at a pretty good clip, and Ryan Suter's like, I ain't going to catch him. Love to see Suits being Suits.
I saw him, too, getting tangled up with Foligno towards the end of regulation, I think, too, and man, I would love to hear what Marcus Foligno said or even had to say about his time with Ryan Suter. But yes, I noticed that. I saw the back checking. I even saw when I saw the little dust up with Foligno, I even thought of you and thought the same thing. Oh, there's 20. There he is.
Yep. Last thing.
Yeah.
Erickson Ek. Mm-hmm. Erickson Ek of late has been money, man. God, has he played well.
I mean, dare I say he's been probably their second best player this season. And it's not a hot take by any means, because his points are there and he's having a career year, but it's just, we get so used to him being the garbage man, being the guy that does a lot of the painful things that we sometimes take for granted in hockey, and they probably go beyond the naked eye of someone who doesn't watch a lot of hockey, but he has been so great this season. You know, Garen came on the show and mocked me for not addressing his skill enough or not giving enough credit. You know, still, I don't know if he's going to out-dangle anyone, but he will outwork your ass. Like, that's his MO. He's going to outwork skill. You. He's he does. Skill. He does have more skill than I give him credit
for. He's not exactly this guy, because this guy was a wing, but you know what he has? He has the, in his prime, Parisi work ethic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he's got the skill. Like, Zach was never a great player. Zach was a very talented player who would work his butt off. And I feel like Erickson Ek at center does the same thing. Like, I mean, he's got some skill, but you're right. Like, I've never perceived him to be this ultra talented player. But when you work as hard as he does and you have talent, you're really good.
The Parise comp's good, too, because I've noticed the same thing as in the corners or when he's just trying to slap a puck that's loose in front of the net and you're just trying to jam it home. I mean, that's how Zach made his living. I mean, that's literally how Zach Parise scored 95% of his goals in the NHL. And yeah, he's been great. He has literally that last year wasn't a fluke for him either. I think there was that initial fear. You know what? He was drafted, I think, 6 years ago or so. That, oh man, they pass up on Brock Besser, and Besser lights the league on fire his first 2 years.
And you saw what just happened there, right?
Yeah.
Healthy scratch last night by Boots.
That's not good.
Called it tough love. I feel terrible for him. His father passed away.
Yeah, I think he's going through a lot.
He's still a young man, so I feel awful for him. Boy, that kid would look good back home, though.
Ooh, yes. I know. I know the Wild are still potentially looking to upgrade. Yeah, it'd have to be cap gymnastics to make something like that happen.
I believe he's got three goals, and I feel bad for him.
I do.
Did you see the Spurgeon play on Troy Terry in OT last night?
Yes, where he
okay.
Yes.
That's one of the plays of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Terry lost the puck, so he's on a break.
I thought it was gonna be a goal. Yeah,
he thinks he's got a ton of time.
Yep.
He crosses the blue line of the Wild zone loses the puck slightly, so it doesn't like come off his stick, but he had to regain control. And Spurgeon decides to sell out and makes that diving play and pokes the puck and lifts the stick. That's the type of stuff that Spurgeon does that's an incredible play.
Yeah, it was.
First of all, it takes big time cojones to make that play. Second of all, that's a skill play and a hardworking play.
Yeah, and Terry's someone, I remember Terry, his freshman year at Denver, because I was just wrapping up at St. Cloud. And he's actually turned himself to a pretty solid player in the NHL. I didn't think he was going to be, I thought he was just a classic college hockey kid that just benefits from playing college hockey, but he's turned himself to a solid player. But that was a great play from Spurgeon. I agree. That was catch material right there. Catch the material
Ducks,
stuff.
The Ducks are going to be fantastic eventually. And if they can get the top pick, which they're going to have a very good chance at, Connor Bedard on that team, you've got Zegras, potentially Bedard. You've got Drysdale, who's hurt right now. You go through the youth of that team.
Yeah, they're
that
close.
That team could be great in about 3 years.
I mean, the Kings, same thing. The Kings are now popping off. And after, 3 years of being bad, and Mike, he's having a great year.
He's on a heater. They're not a great team right now, but man, I think they're in third place in the Pacific, but is he having a good season? All right. Take us home.
All right. Hit the subscribe button. Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment right here on the Score North YouTube channel. Go over to Purple Daily. Judd's going to drink another Sterling Craft, his hot takes for the Monday episode of Purple Daily. Actually all my work is done. I cooked a pie. Vinny approved of the pie. He said, yep, that's a great pie, Dad. Good job. Bring that pie to the boys. I don't know if they'll love it as much, but we'll see what happens there. Hit the subscribe button. Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. When the Wild have won four in a row, you know what it's all about.
Listen, you guys know what this is all about, right? Right? What's it all about? Spurgy?
Hard work and having fun.
That. This is about winning.
This holiday, whether you're making a Baker's Simple Truth turkey for 40 or a Murray's Baked Brie for two, Baker's has fast, fresh delivery and free pickup, so you can make holiday meals that bring you all together to create memories that last. Baker's, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.